Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Susie Perry, and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. Today, we're in San Marino for round 13 of the season from Misano, and here is how the race was won.
Turn 16, it's called Misano, and the master of Misano will be Dani Pedrosa. Dani Pedrosa, then, will be the eighth Grand Prix winner of 2016, and wheelies over the line in fine style. A remarkable win for him from Valentino Rossi, 20 points. Then 16 points for Jorge Lorenzo in third place. But Marc Marquez still gets great points in 13 to the line.
Exactly.
And damage limitation yet again from Marc Marquez. He does not throw caution to the wind.
Coming up, the views of James Toseland, Neil Hodgson, Gavin Emmett and all the protagonists from race day. But first, what did Julian Ryder and Keith Ewan make of the racing?
What a cracking San Marino Grand Prix, full of surprises as usual, Jules. Got to say, the surprise of Dani Pedrosa. Last time Valentino saw that, was Aragon last year.
12 months ago, effectively.
Incredible ride from him. When Valentino Rossi looked like he had done everything he needed to do to win his home Grand Prix, those hordes of yellow army coming over the hills and down through the lanes, 100,000 people here at Trackside, Jules, all to be disappointed.
All of them, Keith, all of them, because the place was painted yellow. But Dani Pedrosa reminds us, when he doesn't have to struggle with getting heat into the tyres, Dani Pedrosa is still up there with the best.
It looked like it was going to be Mark, though, didn't it, for some considerable time. On the other Honda, he'd gone for the hard option front tyre. Marc Marquez was making progress as the two Yamahas really started to fight it out at the front. Eventually, Valentino Rossi forcing the issue on Jorge Lorenzo, who somewhat, I think I said in commentary, it arrogantly looked like he wasn't going to give the place up, but it was full of Valentino and had no choice. But then Valet just looked like he'd got the pace to win this race well.
I thought so. I thought that was it. Done deal. Jorge clearly couldn't quite go with him. Marquez started going backwards.
Well, actually, he had a moment or two, didn't he, Marc Marquez, where he looked like he may be able to challenge Jorge. It looked like that front tyre was coming to him. And then when Dani caught him...
That was his lot, wasn't it? Yeah. He didn't and couldn't respond to his teammate.
And Dani had stuff in hand. I mean, he came from the third row of the grid. He did, actually, to be honest, he had good free practices.
Definitely.
It was only the qualifying that he mucked up in.
Absolutely right. He was fourth, I think, in free practice, off the top of my head. And he looked more like his old self. Confidence coming, of all places, from Silverstone. A cold, horrible racetrack he doesn't like at all. But he was half decent and looked more confident at the British Grand Prix.
That soft option front tyre didn't really look like an option for many. Dani being the lightweight that he is in demeanour, it was a situation that he had to wait for it to come to him. He looked like he grew in confidence every 2.6 miles.
And then, second half of the race, he just charged through them.
Got to say, Rossi, you know, really is, you know, he's the people's champ we hear. We're here on home soil. I don't think anybody that's not been here can actually understand what it actually means. Even you see British motorhomes that are parked around here with 46 all over and half painted in yellow. I mean, it is a phenomena that you can only really appreciate if you're sort of 10 kilometres from Tavuglia, where he comes from.
And which is the epicentre of the Rossi phenomenon.
But it's a remarkable situation. But he really looked to me to be disappointed, absolutely to the core disappointed.
Don't look at the post-Rostrum interviews. Look at the one where he was when they got him in Parc Fermé. Because that was a man who, to use the time-honoured phrase, was completely gutted that he hadn't won this race.
Do you reckon it might be his last to win here? Was that his last opportunity?
That's what he's worried about.
Eighth, we asked the question on BT Sport, didn't we? If there is to be, and I felt like the wording was sort of just sort of tentative, as if we couldn't possibly think there'd be an eighth winner.
Not
in
consecutively,
succession.
No.
Exactly, in succession. I think that we'd all pretty much dismissed that possibility, despite the fact Danny Pedrosa won the poll. So, fans at home, if you voted, well, you obviously
40% of them said Danny.
Yeah, you obviously know better than the so-called experts, that's for sure. But Danny Pedrosa was the one that the money went on, and he delivered.
In the biggest possible way. We shouldn't be surprised. He's still a great rider. The conditions came to him. He has won a Moto Grand Prix race every year of his 10 years in the top class.
So where to for Rossi now? I mean, he's got it down to 43 points over Marc Márquez. The only saving grace, I suppose, is the fact that he gained a few more points. It's 43 now between him. We've got five more races left. I mean, where do you see Rossi pulling it back on Márquez? A Márquez that's prepared to take fourth place.
This is the problem for Valentino. If he can't win, as we saw today, Márquez stayed with Pedrosa for only a few corners. And then Danny pulled away and Mark said, fine, I'll stay here then.
I wonder how Yamaha are going to feel if that Mugello blow-up for Valentino Rossi. We figured an almost nailed-on 25 points.
I don't think there's anybody sensible around who would argue with that. He was so comfortable when that engine went bang at Mugello. It's, you know, it wasn't his fault. He didn't do anything bad to it. It was the team's fault. For not reading the runes correctly. And it could be it. And then the mistake at Assen, the crash at Assen, which was Valentino's fault, however slight and tiny an error it was, that lost another hatful of points. And if you, again, look at the footage, if you can look it up, of Rossi dragging that bike out the sandpit at Assen and the onboard camera going straight into his face. He knew what he'd done there.
Lorenzo back to some kind of form this weekend, but again, Yamaha seem to be missing opportunities here at the moment, don't they? I mean, it's a situation where, with Lorenzo somewhere thereabouts, he said the pace, Danny's pace, Valentino's pace, was too hot for him.
Yep, and this is a man who was the first into the 131s for his
in qualifying,
for his pole laps. Yet today, Sunday, just didn't quite have that edge.
It's going to be an interesting last five rounds for MotoGP, but what about the Moto2? That's hotting up even more, really, isn't it? Zarco just looked a bit fragile this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. He got pushed and bullied back and then picked a few places off towards the end.
Wasn't allowed his rhythm, was he?
I think that's exactly the point. No one let him get to the front and go away, which is what he did here last year, of course. And hats off to Alex Rins.
Again. Two times on the trot. Last week, of course, Silverstone, he got points when he wasn't fit after that collarbone. This time round, I mean, he's still not completely fit, that's a fact. And he looked like he wore himself out towards the end of the race, but he didn't give it up, did he? I mean, those fast old right-handers, he was still having a go.
He had a dip on the fast rights on the last lap at Baldassare, the maiden winner, and came within a couple of inches of an horrible collision and going up the track again, but he 3 points now only at the top of the Moto2 championship?
From my memory, that's exactly what it is. He's under a lot of pressure, so we're going to see now how he manages that pressure.
Zarco, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Rins has got two Spanish home races left.
I wasn't actually concerned too much about Rins. He seems to be one of those kids that he seems fairly bulletproof. I mean, and after what he showed us today, the adrenaline took over and he wasn't prepared to lose those extra 5 points. I mean, he could have headed the championship. If he'd have managed to pinch that lead back from Baldassare.
I was astonished. He was clearly suffering with his shoulder, the broken collarbone repaired a couple of weeks ago. And he still had a go. He still dipped. He could easily have just rolled off on the last lap and said, 20 points, you know what? I've beaten Zarco. I've closed the gap. That's fine. No way. He put in, as you say, the bravest of attacks on the last lap.
Third Misano on the trot, where Sam Lowes has not scored points. Again, I think that in commentary, by your normal temperate standards. I must say that you were kind of frustrated, I felt, by Sam looking quite as scruffy as he did out.
I was as frustrated, I think, as Sam was.
Indeed.
And this is an emotion that he's controlled for most of this season, understanding that he must, you know, do what Marquez is doing and take the points when the situation isn't suiting him. There is no way this track has suited him. He's been here twice before, 0 points from those two, and he did the same again, and I find that frustrating.
Moto3, Brad Binder, one hand on the trophy is the old phrase, and it definitely looks like he's got it now.
I think more than one hand, Keith. It's 1 3/4.
20 points next time in Aragon, we'll see it sealed for him.
So second place will do it?
Yeah.
No matter what anybody else does.
That was my calculation. I hope it's right.
So do I. I'm not going to check it. Yes, because Navarro again had a terrible weekend. And I don't know what to say. Joan Mir was one of the little stars, though, wasn't he?
Again, this, yeah. I mean,
that was a cracking bit of work.
We're seeing some stars moving through Moto3 again, aren't we? Joan Mir is definitely one for the future. But Binder, you know, 21 years old, a little older than maybe some of them, but then again, sort of South Africa's a bit like Great Britain, really. We all start a little late in those regions, and
yes.
Binder came to the season quite late. But once he started winning, he's looked class.
And this was his first win from a pole position.
Another
Indeed. Box ticked.
Four pole positions. This is his first win from yep. this one here. So what have we got to look forward to in Aragon?
Brad Binder as world champion.
Tick.
Alex Rins taking the lead of the Moto2 Championship.
Oh, I reckon you're right as well.
And I haven't got a clue what's going to happen in Moto Grand Prix.
Certainly tune in for us, of course, in 2 weeks' time when we get to Aragon in Spain, and the continuing saga of the MotoGP portfolio continues.
Can't wait.
It was Danny Pedrosa today who was just on fire, James. And what a race that was.
Oh, phenomenal. To say he only had two-thirds the whole of this season coming into this race. And we've seen the extent of his problems when the temperatures cool, haven't we, in Austria. He couldn't even brake on the Honda that he was on. But coming here, the soft front tyre for Michelin, this temperature that we've been feeling all weekend, it was amazing, especially on the tight section, the first part of the first six corners. The corner speed and entry speed and the apex that he was hitting compared to the other guys was amazing.
And he said something, and he's not ever very bolshy, you know, he's never arrogant, he's such a lovely guy, but he did say, I have a better pace than a lot of the guys in front of me. And I thought that was really a strong word to say. And I don't think he was talking about Bantelli, but he may well have been. We can hear from home hero Valentino Rossi now. He's with Gav.
Yeah, and we saw all the love for you out there, Valentino, on that cooling down. But you love to have given them a victory today. But it looks like, again, all about tyre choices before the start of the race.
Bah, I think that in my case, I make the right choice. And I had the maximum. I did a very good race with a strong pace from the start. And I stay in front a lot of laps. So you start to feel the sweat, you know? Especially when you see that Jorge and Marquez struggle. But after arrive another one. I don't expect Pedrosa so strong. I think that he had a very bad idea to be so fast today. Because next week is home GP in Aragon. So why today? I tried to stay with him, but he was too fast.
He was today, definitely. But still, you're taking points out of Marc Marquez in the championship. 43. I'm sure you'll have wanted that extra five more because it would have really come down then. What about the championship? It's still there, isn't it?
You know, in this weekend, I just concentrate to the race because I want to try to win. And from one side, I'm not happy because I wasn't able to arrive first. But on the other side, I think that I give the maximum, I ride well, we work well, we did the right decision with the team. I think that sometimes Pedrosa is a disadvantage for his weight with the tires, but today he had a small advantage, no? Because at the end was very fast. Anyway, I'm in front of Marquez, I take some point, but you know.
Don't bite me, I'm still okay. But have you got your boot back? I've noticed that your boot is off, a little bit damp. perhaps down there. You went for the shoey, Jack Miller style, Danny Ricciardo style. I bet the fans love that.
I love the Inassian when Jack did the shoey, and I say at the first victory I want to do. And I want to wait, but today was the right day also if it's not a victory. And it's good, eh? Also the taste is not so bad. You want to try?
I really do not want to try any of that after 28 laps of Misano. A second place Valentino, great performance today. Shame it could be a win, but next time out at Aragon, we'll see.
Yeah, for sure, from now to the end, give the maximum. Ciao.
Do you want to try?
I wouldn't. I'll tell you what amazing though, you know, to compliment Danny with his disadvantages that he has had and now the advantage he had today with that softer tyre. But to recognise that just after a race, he's not been able to watch it like we have just then. So he's only found out from his team. Yeah, he's an amazing guy. Look at this.
Here's his shoey.
Yeah, I mean, you know, where's his Blues Brothers teammate anyway? He should be drinking out the shoe himself as well, right? His old Uccio. Everybody needs somebody, but I wouldn't need that. I definitely would not need that.
Well, you know what? He's a shoe man, and he is the ultimate showman, isn't he? And you can't really argue with that sentiment today of Danny Pedrosa, you were stunning today, but why couldn't you have just done it at Aragon instead of in front of all these?
He almost said, I'll repay the favour, didn't he? And let you win in Aragon, if it is the case. But, you know, still second place. But 38 points instead of 43 points is a big difference at this stage in the championship. That would have made it really interesting. It's interesting anyway, but less than 40 points at this stage in the championship would have made it really interesting.
Okay, we can hear from the race winner now because Gavin is with Danny.
Danny, congratulations. The eighth different winner in a row. Was there a moment you were thinking this was going to be that season where things weren't just going to work out for you?
Of course. There are moments where you see everything is dark. But, you know, super day today because the rhythm was the key, and I had a lot of laps with a very high pace. I couldn't believe, and I just kept my pace, trying to make no mistakes, and I was not sure at the beginning of the race because Valentino pulled away a lot, so I was thinking maybe the podium can be a chance. But little by little, I see that I was gaining on both of them, on the three of them. And in fact, I make a good passes. I could stick still always into my lap time. And finally, super great feeling because, as you said, so long time having troubles that today to have this performance feels great for me, friends, family, and the team. Everybody stick behind. And in these hard times is when you really need the help. But what can I say? I'm super excited, but we cannot be too excited at these next days because people will work. So we need to keep our feet down and feet on the ground and try to keep focused for the next.
I want to know about the choice of tyres, to go with the soft tyre, because you know only one other person went with the soft front tyre. So was it a gamble or was it something that you know you'd done a race distance during practice on and you knew what the performance was going to be?
Actually, my strong point this weekend was the rhythm. Yesterday in qualifying, I struggled a lot and I didn't do a good lap time. Actually, my lap yesterday was the same lap that I did almost today and in the race. But I never tried this tire in the hot condition, only in the morning. So I had a better feeling, I don't know why. Anyway, K or V, they were both medium, not soft. But for me, for the feeling was better, so I chose this one. I knew I was the only one. But in the race, I forgot about it, and I just focused on riding. Then the feeling came. And I can stick to my lap time. This was the crucial thing in the race.
And we've been asking all these different winners, the last seven of them in the row, about how amazing MotoGP is. We were worried you weren't going to get here to be able to talk to us about it. But what about MotoGP at the moment? To see eight different winners in a season, you've been through 10 seasons now where you've won a race. How incredible is the level?
I never seen something like this ever before, with so many changes in the front. And that's why I say we need to keep our feet on the ground because we need to focus for the next race. Try to achieve again the same level of performance if we can, and try to make our place there in the front.
Danny, it's great to see you back here. Congratulations, and all the best for next time at Aragon 2. Well done.
Thank you.
Well, it is absolutely great to see him winning. A sublime performance today by Dani Pedrosa. And James, he yet to do it from eighth. This is Misano, where you're supposed to be on the front row or the second row at worst.
Yeah, he did get away with him great. And what he said was the rhythm rather than anything else. And it's interesting to see that he said he wasn't really a soft. There was the softer of the medium. So it's a psychological thing as well for the riders. But this is the unpredictability of what the tyres are bringing, because it is new this year. And that's one reason why we're seeing seven different winners.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because obviously the rule changes and the new tyre company coming in, Michelin, have made a massive big difference. But also the stripped-back electronics.
Yeah, huge. And it's not been to the advantage of Dani Pedrosa. I mean, seven races it's been since he was on the podium back at his home race in Catalonia. And it's because of the different conditions, because of his light weight and the front end setting that he has on the bike. Unless he gets this kind of temperature with that kind of a compound, he finds it not just difficult, impossible.
Doesn't always work out for him, but it certainly did today.
If you got the confidence to pass the likes of Valentino Rossi for the lead there, it just showed you what confidence it did have today in that front tyre.
Yeah, and it's pretty interesting that he said that he forgot that he was the only one on that tyre when it was halfway through, when he was starting to move through the field, and obviously had self-belief that, you know, he could actually do it when he saw the lap times coming down.
It's all a surprise. He's not been there for so long, you know, and he's got a tyre that he doesn't even know if it's going to be any good on the last half a dozen laps. But it was. It was so strong from start to finish, and it is surprising for him. But, you know, the seven winners that we've had, it's a little bit of a surprise, but there has been previous world champions in that top seven, and all of them has won a race at world championship level. And this is the great thing about MotoGP at the moment.
Yep.
The level is so strong.
Here we are standing in the glorious sunshine, and I would be telling you porcupines if I didn't say there was a slight air of disappointment around this paddock. We've come through from the pit lane side and we can see the trucks behind us and people going around about their business, but you know, it would have been a very different atmosphere, of course, if Valentino had won, taking nothing away from Danny at all, because that was an incredible performance from him. But there's a lot of sad people. Hold the limoncello tonight.
Yeah, you know, like I said at the beginning, this could be the last of three chances he can win, you know. But second, with a rider that's kind of an underdog today.
Yeah.
I think if it was Lorenzo or Marquez that had beat him, I think that the beer would definitely have stopped. But because it was Pedrosa, he might have just got away with it.
I know you haven't got a crystal ball, but I'm just wondering whether, with Aragon coming next, knowing how good the Hondas are, we'll look back at this moment with Dani Pedrosa and we'll say he was actually quite instrumental in the championship.
Oh, very much so. You know, 5 points at this stage in the championship. I mean, 61 points Lorenzo's behind now. You could say that, you know, that could be it for him, because I don't think there's any more than four or five people to beat Marc Marquez. And if there isn't, then Lorenzo's going to find it very difficult to claw back that championship now. But 43 for Rossi, that's still wide open, especially if Dani Pedrosa can start beating Marquez, because we heard Olivio Supo there. Yeah. At one point, they were thinking, well, this is not good for Pedrosa to be in front of Marquez. But actually now, if you can pass Rossi, that'll just kind of like make it even okay. But it's difficult for Honda if they put any team orders in.
Well,
do you think team orders will come in?
Yeah, well, do you think so?
Maybe.
It's not really a sport where team orders come in, though, is it?
If Marc Marquez has to run this hard front tyre in a race and it's not going to perform as well as the Yamahas on the medium front or Dani Pedrosa on the soft front, they may start doing it if the Yamahas consistently start beating Marquez.
Well, a disappointment that I'm mostly disappointed about, the fact that I thought Leonardo DiCaprio was supposed to be turning up this weekend and I've not seen him.
Come on.
No, yeah, I'll make do. Let's hear from Jorge Lorenzo, who's been chatting with Gav.
Well, Jorge, we heard your interview before down in Park Ferry. Very, very honest assessment that you felt the others were faster than you today. We've talked about tyre choices. Was that the only option you really had to go with today with the front?
For our bike, I think it was the right option. Maybe for the riding style of Danny and his bike, maybe the soft one can be a good option, because he brake very smooth and he don't force so much the tire. And he was extremely, extremely fast today. Some laps faster than even his qualifying lap. So today was the day of Danny, and was not my day, to be honest. No, I missed some laps. I was the same as Rossi, but some others I lose one tenth and a half. And little by little I was losing way. And I tried my best, but I couldn't keep their pace, and I had to finish third. Disappointed a little bit, because I expected more. I expected to fight for the win at least until the end. But today was not my day, and you have to accept it. Some days they are faster than you, and you have to accept the result.
Have you felt the confidence come back this weekend in the bike? You're feeling on board the M1?
A little bit. We had a great setting, and we could fight. We could fight. But you know, Rossi today was very, very good, very constant, he didn't make any mistake. and Danny from the back going very, very fast and feeling, braking hard and putting straight the bike and accelerate very, very well. Just past us and go away. So another podium, but you know, next time we'll try again.
Yeah, because next time's home, isn't it? Aragon, the third of four home races this season. What about the Yamaha around there with the Michelins? Is it again in the case of it depends what we see when we get there?
Well, Aragon in the past was not the was not one of the favorite tracks for Yamaha, but in the last 2 years we won there and we improved so much compared. We catch the Honda in this track. So now that the Honda, even if they improve, they don't have the best acceleration ever. Maybe there we can have some options and let's see if we can next time fight more for the victory.
Anyway, congratulations on the podium, Jorge. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you to you.
It was an early departure in MotoGP for Alex Lowes, and he talked to Gavin shortly afterwards.
Alex, I know you're a little bit disappointed. Obviously, it's never good when you crash out. Tell us what happened. We didn't see it.
Yeah, I just lost the front at turn one, really. I'm not quite sure what happened, but I felt all right in the race. I just was going to get into it. My goal was to try and stay in the low to mid-34s of the whole race. I felt all right, and then just lost the front, not without much warning. But it's been another good weekend. I've enjoyed it a lot. I learned a lot, and it's just a shame I didn't get, you know, a lot more laps in the race to understand a bit more. But yeah, really disappointed. But thanks to the team, thanks to everyone. And yeah, it was good.
You said to me when I came up and asked you, you said you almost felt like you weren't pushing hard enough because the plan was to get in your rhythm and not do anything silly early on. I guess understanding these tyres, or especially that front tyre, is key to riding this MotoGP bike.
Yeah, there's lots of things that are different for me in the race situation and riding in the heat. Maybe there's a bit less front grip. Yeah, maybe I just wasn't forcing the tyre enough. It looks like with these tyres, you have to keep the load there all the time. And it's 28 laps, so I wanted just to build into a rhythm like we had it and made a bit of a plan for that. And maybe I just wasn't pushing as hard as I probably should have been at that point. But yeah, we'll have a look and make sure that I don't do it again.
And hopefully we'll get another one, they say.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, because every weekend I'm learning. Obviously, it's not nice to end on a bit of a negative, but luckily for me, I've got the opportunity to really enjoy these races. I'm not in the championship, and I've certainly learnt a lot that can help me next week in Superbike. So, yeah, fantastic weekend. Honestly, I enjoyed it. I'm really upset for the team more than anything for the result. But, yeah, I think it was a step better than Silverstone, so that was the goal.
Yeah, well, thanks for talking to us, Alex.
Cheers, mate.
Well, obviously that was Neil Hodgson, not Gavin, that he was talking to there. But yeah, it was a strong weekend, ironically, until the race, really. And he's learning all the time. But we may well see him at the next race at Aragon.
Yeah, in Super. In place of Bradley Smith again. Yeah Bradley's knee is definitely not going to recover before then.
It's not confirmed, though, but it's looking good, isn't it, that he will replace it. Makes sense.
Well,
it?
I think Yamaha are kind of like just weighing things up as well, because he does need to concentrate on the Superbike Championship that is contracted to. Is at Lausitzring, as we know, next weekend. So I think it's a Yamaha thing as well, wanting him to focus on that as well as doing this as well.
This is a great opportunity for him, though. Where is he in the Superbike Championship? He's about 10th.
11th.
He's 11th. So,
top Yamaha, though. That's a problem for Yamaha.
He's not fighting for the win, though, is he?
No, he's not. But I do think that it's important for riders who they have signed a contract for and the team they've signed for, they commit fully until they've completed that before they move on. It's been an amazing opportunity for Alex. But you can see that the task is dawning on him how tough it's going to be by just coming in halfway through a season and trying to learn the bike, the tyres, the electronics, the team and everything. So it might just be as good for his confidence and his progression in his career to concentrate on Superbikes.
Well, when you get an opportunity like that, of course you don't say no, do you? You're right, he's in doing Superbikes next weekend, Lausitzring in Germany, and then maybe we'll see him in Spain in Aragon.
I think we will because obviously
he's fit and young, isn't
they he? Don't clash, do they? So no. And I think, you know, Aragon's a track he does know as well from the Superbikes, and I'm sure another race on this MotoGP bike won't do him any harm. He qualified 14th, remember?
Yeah, it was good, wasn't
you know
it?
Only a second off the second row, so you know he's doing a great job.
Yeah, he is. Okay, well, fingers crossed for that one. We'll let you know any news as soon as we have it, of course. So here are the highlights of Moto3.
We've got a hairpin and a couple of left to go now. As Bastian Ini will surely go for the breaking point. He doesn't. Binder's brilliant on the brakes on that KTM. Binder pulls it almost to the line. He just about makes it to the apex. He has one more corner to go, as do these two for third place. Brad Binder's looking to win off pole for the first ever time, and Bettinini, he comes to the rear end of him. It's going to be surely Binder over the line. Brad Binder wins the Moto3 Grand Prix from Andrea Bettinini. Binder wins from pole position for the first time out of four times.
Neil, thanks for joining us. Have you enjoyed today?
Oh, stunning, stunning. I thought Valentino was going to do it, obviously. No one saw that coming from Danny.
But when you started to see Danny coming through, though, you must have thought,
I did.
This is Danny's day.
Yeah, I did. I spotted it really early, actually. I thought, he's coming through,
yeah,
you know.
Fast.
And you know Danny, when it's all happening for him, we saw it at the end of last year, he's amazing. It's just that he's inconsistent, isn't he? But yeah, great race.
With two laps to go, though, he was only half a second one in Rossi. But he made a mistake in, like, turn four.
Turn four, he went wide and lost all that momentum. And I reckon he lost the front, even though you couldn't quite see it. And I think at that point, Rossi thought, hang on a minute. I don't need to crash. And the championship's still on.
Yeah, so. Yeah, no, it absolutely is. But when you heard at the start, because Gavin was talking you through the tyres that we've just been given all the tyre choices as well, because we looked at it and we went, oh, that's interesting. Danny Pedrosa on a soft.
What we've seen, you know, over the last, what is it, three or four rounds, the people that take a risk, like when Cal Crutchlow was on the start line on hard, wet tyres back in the Czech Republic, which seems like an age ago, that was such a brave move, but it paid off. Running that soft front was a brave move because would it last? Well, we all thought it wouldn't last, but it did last. It offered more grip for the whole race distance.
And this tyre, it's all new technology for everybody. And with this high temperature, now the teams have got that experience and data that the softer front here with these temperatures can actually last a full race.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, basically. People won't be getting caught out like this next year, will they? Because they'll know, no, actually, we know that this compound works. But that's the beauty of it being a learning year for everybody. I still cannot believe 8 different winners in 8 races.
No,
bizarre.
What a pass that was, though, from Danny. Down in there, down that hill. You know it. You were on the Fletcher Ducati. It is a tricky position to pass, isn't it?
In front of that's the Rossi stand as well. Just imagine if it had took him out at that point. Because it was a lunge.
I don't want to do that.
I mean, you would. Well, his life would be in danger. No. So, yeah, stunning race, but stunning season. We're so lucky. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Golden era, this is it. Enjoy what you're seeing because it doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah, because Dorna took a lot of flak, didn't they, when they changed the rules? A lot of people saying, oh, you're dumbing it down, this, that, and the other. But actually, when you look at it now, 8 different winners. You don't see that in motorsport championships. You don't see it anywhere else, really, do you?
But the rule changes for someone like Danny. It's been the worst thing ever because as soon as you had less electronics for anti-wheeling, anti-traction control, and a one make tyre rule, and you couldn't have specific tyres just for him, as we've seen today, it's such a specific condition that Danny needs with the softer front to get that result. You know, if we go to Catalonia and it's raining or it's cold, forget about it again, I think.
Which usually when we get to the next round, it can be a bit cooler anyway, so... I'm pleased he's won because I have to interview him all the time and he's really miserable every time.
That's because he has to talk to you, though.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's why everyone's miserable. It's all starting to make sense.
You've had a hard time from Susie today, haven't you?
Yeah, you have been picking on me. Look, I was slow on that Ducati. Just let it go, will you, Susie?
It's all affectionate love. You know that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
You hide it so well.
Thank you very much.
It's a love-hate thing. Loves to hate.
No, it's just love. It's just all love. All love here in Misano.
But it is Lorenzo Baldassarre winning the Moto2 race here. He has done it all right. He's got one better than he did the last time he was in Italy at Mugello. He wins for Ford Racing.
Lorenzo, congratulations. As we spoke to you yesterday, there's something special about you and riding in Italy, and you've finally done it. You've won your first Grand Prix, but even more special for you, what's it like to do it in front of a home crowd?
Yes, it was very special. First win here in Italy because after a great result in Italy, maybe it's the race that I have much power. I tried to push. Alex was riding very good. I tried to push very hard. I tried all the best, almost in the limit with the front, but it was special for me. Thank you to the World 46, to my forward team, to the boss, and to all the team and family.
We can tell you've really worked hard today. You deserve it. Congratulations, Lorenzo. Go and enjoy that win.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I will enjoy.
Johan, that looked like a frustrating race. Inconsistent times early on. What was going on?
What's going on? I think I got a tire problem with the rear. Even since We use this tire just to do a few laps to see if not open or lose some rubber. Was okay, but not the best condition. And it was not the same tire than I did qualifying and I did warm up. And it was same reference, but not same feeling. Beginning of race, I was ready to fight. I felt good, really. Then I lose many position, and I was thinking that I can catch again, but not. I was not able to follow my opponents, and in the end, I could feel a little bit better, but not to catch Nakagami. I was pushing a lot, so I saved a few points, and even after 5 years experience in Moto2, we learn every day. So this is the game, and unlucky this Sunday because I was strong all the weekend again.
Yeah, I know it's frustrating. Still championship leader. We'll see you in Aragon. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Alex, we've heard that was such a tough race for you, as we can imagine, because when you broke your collarbone, did you imagine that you'd be closing points to Johan Zarco? It's now three between you and he as you go to a home race in Aragon.
Yeah. I can't imagine what start to happen after Silverstone. No, we are really strong. Finally, this race was really, really hard for me. During all the race, I was leading the race, looking in every moment my guys, no, my team. So finally, last two laps, he overtake me and I was behind him. He brake more harder than me and I go straight, no. But anyway, I'm at 3 points on the championship, so this is very, very good thing.
Was there a lot of pain?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. You suffered a bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So during all the weekend, no, I improve a lot from Silverstone, but still pain, no. But anyway, I will do all my best in Motorland in my home Grand Prix.
Yeah, we look forward to it. It's great to see the championship is still alive. Well done, Alex. Great performance.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll recognise Paolo Nutini, and this is Martin Finnegan, who's the UK ambassador, of course, for Marco Simoncelli Foundation.
Great to see you.
It's lovely to see both of you. Now, you're clearly holding a Fender. I know that. We're getting into the music knowledge.
And they've made it specially, by the way.
Yeah.
And please tell us
what's going on with the guitar.
Paolo had an idea to work with Fender. Me and Paolo have been friends for a while. We met in Mugello in 2013, and we've been friends ever since. And
you were supporting them, right? The Rainbow was supporting them.
That's
Paolo.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we met Mugello, and afterwards, Martin came, did a few shows around Italy. Yeah, it was great.
And Paolo's dad's a huge MotoGP fan, and obviously, me and you did a song called Rise Again, didn't we? Which all the profits went to the Simoncelli Foundation. After that, Marco Simoncelli's father asked me to be the UK ambassador for the foundation. Mm. Marco in his lifetime was very active with the cause for kids with disabilities. So Paolo Simoncelli's dad set up a charity, which has helped with many projects, which means that Marco's still doing something amazing, even though he's no longer with us. So Paolo came up with a brilliant idea with Fender to have this guitar made. And of course, it's signed by the man himself, Mr. Valentino Rossi.
And there is a competition to raise money on a website, which is charitybuzz.com, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's an auction, essentially. So it's available to bid on.
You can go and bid on there.
And the money goes towards, the foundation, the school, I guess, keeping it going, helping build it, yeah.
And when is it closed? When is the competition closed?
So it's going to go live, the auction, on Tuesday, and it's going to, by request of Paolo Simoncelli, close on race day in Sepang, which will mark the fifth anniversary of Marco.
That's lovely. So Tuesday, Charity Buzz, charitybuzz.com.
Yeah, charitybuzz.com.
So and for our music fans, can you tell us particularly about that guitar?
I'll definitely.
Put some detail on it for us, Paolo, if you would.
Yes, it's a Fender Strat. We called it christened it the Super Stitch Strat.
Super Stitch Strat.
And it's made, as I said, it's the one of in the custom shop. It's legit, And then we didn't want to come across as too biased, but we thought we wouldn't want to clutter it. We got one rider to sign it.
Yeah.
So you're not going to sign it then, Paolo?
No. It's only Valley's signature.
Come on, I'm sure that I'd add some price to it.
We'll just leave it for the big boys.
You've been touring for the last 2 years, Paolo, and any new material coming out in the future?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm lucky to spend most of my time doing, writing stuff or going places and trying to meet people to write about, It's and that's what I'm doing just now. So, yeah, hopefully next year we have some stuff. In between albums, until now it's been quite a gap, so I'm trying to close that. And
you sound like you've been having too much fun, Paolo. That's what's been going on.
Yeah, but you know, we have fun when we do it. Make the record, tour the record. It's lucky. It's fun. Like,
but you've had fun this weekend. You've enjoyed the racing.
It's been amazing. The racing's been incredible.
In fact, hang on a second. I thought a 93 had won, not 26, right? You nearly went home, didn't you?
Where, to be fair, we came from the grandstand. There's not a screen which tells you who's in front. And me and Paolo walked back into Gresini Hospitality a little bit deflated, thinking Marquez had won. And when we found out Dani Pedrosa had won, we just cracked open a bottle of Prosecco. I think that'd be right to say and celebrate. So.
That's why you need to watch it on the telly.
I mean, it was great.
Just one question. With that accent, Paolo, did you see John McPhee winning the Czech Republic?
Yeah, I seen him. In fact, when we were in Valencia the end of last year, we met John McPhee and... I met John McPhee and he was a great guy, lovely guy. So I was so happy for him. Yeah, and I'm, you know, he's, as I said, he's. If you meet him, he's a cool guy, you know.
We were really lucky to go to Valentino's ranch on Wednesday as well and meet Valentino.
So oh, you went to the ranch?
Yeah, my brother-in-law came out and Paolo's dad, and they are, Valley's their hero. So it's been.
It's a very special place, and you're very lucky to have gone there. This is a brilliant idea, guys. You're a fantastic ambassador for Mace.
Thank you
so.
Very much.
Well done on the guitar, and let's hope that you guys raise lots of money
for
the Simoncelli Foundation. Yeah. Stunning stuff.
Yeah, charitybuzz.com. Get on it on Tuesday, right? Opens Tuesday, finishes the race day at Sepang, 5-year anniversary of losing the great Marco Simoncelli.
Yeah,
thanks,
absolutely,
guys.
And continue enjoying the weekend. I think Neil, we've got Neil for us wandering in just to sum up the weekend. Lovely guitar, lovely idea, and you know, this place, everybody's still obviously very much in love with Marco Simoncelli, and it's a lovely touch.
Yeah, it really is, and what I like the best is you get someone like Paolo Nutini, who's an absolute superstar. And he's pleased he's met John McPhee. How good's that, though?
Who isn't?
Because you respect bike racers so much because it's such a difficult sport and you get people like that. Great, isn't it?
Yeah, and it just sort of passed down, doesn't it, really, from your parents. If they're really into bike racing, you start watching it and you can't help but fall in love with it. It's just one of those sports.
No, well, you can tell by his accent he's got a Scottish background, but he's also half Italian, I believe, as well. So that's probably why he's got the support of Valentino Rossi and Marco Simoncelli.
Well, they said that they'd been to... Oh, sorry, Neil.
No, I was going to say, I thought it'd be more rock and roll than opening up a bottle of Prosecco.
That was Martin that said that, actually.
You know,
Paolo didn't mention. Yeah, he didn't mention anything, did he? So,
let's have your highlights of the day then.
Eighth. I'm getting one ahead of myself. Eighth winner in eight different Grand Prix. Dani Pedrosa, stunning.
Okay, it was a really, really fantastic day. And of course, we're going to be back in a fortnight's time. We'll be there in Spain, in Aragon. Join us on BT Sport. You will not miss a moment. So from Friday, we'll be live for free practice for you. This is 23rd of September. Saturday, we'll have all of your qualifying. And then, of course, race day will be live for you from 9:30. In the morning, but I just missed your highlight. So, just in a word, James, your highlight today?
My lap.
Binder, South African winning a world championship, you know.
And come on, it's Dani Pedrosa all day long.
Yes, I take it back, Dani. I'm very, very sorry.
Thank you for your company. See you in a couple of weeks' time. Break open the Rioja.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.